Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. Hey guys, it's Mark.
And I'm Charity.
And welcome to the Case Watch Podcast.
Case Watch deals with content meant for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Case Watch.
Confirming the body found in Grand Teton National Park is Gabby Petito, and she was killed.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Late today, Chris Watts was officially charged with the murders of his wife and his two young girls.
Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Greeting, crime creeps. This is Big Rick from Eastern Pennsylvania. This is for Mark, my fellow WWE fan. So, WrestleMania, night two. What do you got, Roman or Cody? And then on night one, who turns on who? Does Rock turn on Roman, or does Seth turn on Cody? Interesting to see what you think. Bye.
I have no idea. I don't know what nerdy things like wrestling. All right.
Come on, Mark. You're obsessed. We all know.
If you really want to know what's going to happen, I'm going to lay the smack it down right now.
He's laying the smack it down right now.
Smacketh.
Smacketh. Sorry.
My bad. So what's going to happen is, in my eyes, Seth is going to turn on Cody. Rock and Roman are going to win. They're going to get bloodline rules for the night two.
I don't know what any of this is, just so you know.
This is only for Big Rick.
Oh,
the
sorry.
Thousands of other people listening.
This is just a conversation between you and Big Rick.
Yep.
Okay.
So what's going to end up happening night two is Cody's going to get the ever-living crap beat out of him. And then Rock is going to turn on Roman.
Really?
Cody is going to win. And then you're going to see a steady burn all the way probably till next year, where it's going to be Rock versus Roman for head of the table. That is my prediction.
Interesting. I wonder what's going to happen.
Kristen's kid tells me I'm dumb and that's not going to happen.
Oh.
He's a better booker than I am.
Really?
He says I'm very short-sighted and I only look at the storylines in front of me, but not the ones that connect down the road. Like, he probably will have something to do with wrestling when he gets older. He's very smart with this stuff.
Wow.
So other than that, that's all that's going on in my neck of the woods.
Excellent.
We would be remiss to not right off the top and bring this up right here. I woke up this morning.
Oh, yeah, this is horrible.
We all saw the footage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Yep.
It's absolutely horrific. There's still six people unaccounted for.
So sad.
From what I'm gathering from the news, those six people were not in vehicles. They were people working on the bridge like road crew.
Oh, no.
And the other people that are saying, like, I can't believe they didn't stop or this or that, like, they attempted to refire that ship numerous times. And you could see the rolling of the coal, basically. You see that black smoke start pouring out. When they got it to refire, they instantly were attempting to change course.
It's just a horrible accident.
It's an accident. They happen. It's very scary. And we are definitely thinking about everybody affected by this tragedy, not just the people, but the area. And like, this is going to do a lot of bad for that whole area.
I know. It's so sad.
It's horrific.
These are things, thank goodness, we don't hear a lot about.
Yeah.
You know, because it is such a tragic accident. You don't hear something, a fluke like this happening. And earlier we were talking, the three of us, me and Kristen, and, you know, the news was on. And I made the comment that thank goodness it happened when it did at like around 1:30 a.m., I think.
Yeah.
Because if it had been like rush hour, it's sad enough the people that are missing, but
they showed stock footage of what rush hour on that bridge was like.
Oh my gosh.
And it is crazy.
Oh my gosh. So sad.
And that is also the biggest shipping port.
Is it?
Basically in the country.
Oh, my gosh.
So that shipping port was actually featured in The Wire. If you've ever watched that old HBO show.
Yes.
That season two is all about that port.
Really?
Yep. It's sad. We, like I said, we're thinking about everybody affected by this, and let's just cross our fingers and hope for the best.
And I also, I'm thinking of the people that were in control of that ship, because think of how horrible they feel. And it was out of their hands, and they must feel horrible. I think about that too when there's like a somebody gets killed by a train, like the conductor. There's nothing they can do. They can't stop in time. They can't. Nope. That must be the most horrible feeling. It's like you know it's not your fault, but you still were a part of it, you know? And that's just so sad. I do also want to talk about, guys, we talked about Riley Strain.
Yes.
Last week, he was the University of Missouri student who was last seen in a bar, and then some cameras on the street. Unfortunately, guys, he was found, and he lost his life. So that's a sad outcome. He had his whole life ahead of him. So I want to send thoughts and prayers to that family as well, because that is just horrible.
Now, they did say that there was no suspected foul play in that, correct?
I don't think so. As of right now, I have not heard that there was. I don't know if they can, I mean, obvious, I mean, here's my thing. They're going to have to do a toxicology.
Yes.
Right? So right now, they may not know, but once that comes back, that who knows what kind of, if a drug is. Remember, we talked about maybe he was drugged. Some of the creeps were talking about that. So I don't know the information yet. So there, maybe there'll be some things that come out, and maybe they won't. I don't know.
Very sad. Any sort of loss of life.
So sad.
All.
So sad. Can we talk about something more lighthearted?
Sure.
Yeah, so I think everyone saw the picture you posted in the Crime Creep.
I did not post.
Kristen posted a picture of you with Sophie's hair all over you.
Yeah, hairy kitty.
Yes.
Not anymore. She's a shaved kitty.
Mark shaved his kitty.
I do on a regular basis.
He shaves his kitty on a regular basis, and she does not like it. But you don't, you're unscathed at this time. You didn't get scratched this time?
Minorly. So this is the weird thing. Sophie likes when she's shaved. She doesn't like the process of being shaved, because you can tell she's very uncomfortable with that hair that makes her seven times the size.
Oh, my God. She's actually tiny, you guys.
Yeah, she was the runt. That's the reason I picked her.
A little petite, cute little thing.
Oh, she's all of probably 2 pounds.
Should I also tell the creeps the question I asked you?
I completely forgot, but go ahead.
I asked Mark if he used the same clippers to shave his kitty that he uses to shave his, you know, junk.
I actually had to think about it for a minute. No, that is a negative. Although it is a good idea, because there are plastic blades on that one. And I may have been on the other end of a nicking or two. Lots of blood lost. You guys ever seen Something About Mary when he gets stuck in the zipper?
Yep. Frank above the beans. Or the beans above the Frank. How'd the beans get above the Frank?
I love when he gets on the radio. Tom, Jim, get up here. You're not going to believe
this. And then the brother, he was masturbating. That's all he kept saying.
Yeah. Like, that's the kind of damage that usually, it's like a war zone.
Ouch. Ooh, yeah. That's not good. You could get an infection.
Guys have a lot more to navigate around when they're doing said shaving.
You have
ritual.
To make sure you hold things taut, as they say.
Here's the problem. I have 2 hands to do this entire thing. So it's kind of hard to keep things taut, trying to look over your fat gut.
Oh.
Like, it's all, there's a whole process.
Oh.
Yeah, we've gone way too long on shaving of the junk.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we got to that, but, you know, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, it's our show. Who cares?
Exactly. What are you going to do about it, you know?
I don't know. Want to talk about some more?
No.
Let's replay the story.
No. I think we're good.
All
I think
right.
we're good.
What
it's
do we
yucky.
Got?
It's yucky out today.
It is. It's gross.
I'm cold.
And I see I'm getting ready to head up to northern Vermont for the Vermont Motorsports Expo. If anybody's in the area, I'll be up in my booth.
Yep.
The entire weekend. And I have to bring a bunch of stuff up. And I have a brand new truck.
You do? Yeah.
Except this truck does not have a tonneau cover, which the other one did.
Yeah.
So I would lock all my stuff in, and it keeps it out of the rain. Well, I have a metric S-ton of stuff to bring 3 hours away from my house. And it's going to downpour and be monsoon rains on you know, Thursday when I leave. And yeah, it's going to be a fun trip.
Fun.
Yeah.
I think we should get into this story because it's quite a long one.
I am down.
Are you guys ready?
I'm down.
Everybody ready? Brace yourselves. Make sure you pay attention because you don't want to miss anything. I tell this to Mark all the time when he's doing 8 different things while I'm reading my stories.
But yet somehow I always know what you're talking about.
I know.
And
I don't
know your story because I can do numerous things at once. You got to remember, I've worked in radio and done a lot of weird stuff.
That's true.
I only hope that it's the story is featured from Illinois.
Illinois. That's the silence.
Sorry, I mean Illinois.
Illinois.
I still play that audio daily. It's probably my favorite.
People are going to come for you, Mark. You should put it as a ringtone.
Illinois. That's the silence.
Wouldn't that be funny? Or like a text tone when someone texts you?
You guys want to have your own little...
You're a douchebag.
Freaking douchebag. Love them.
Or any of this stuff, 603-212-4600.
Call it in, guys. Call it in.
I call it the douche line now.
I love that.
Yeah. I should learn how to log back into that and change the message. You've reached the douche line. Leave your douchey message after the tone.
Please be a douchebag and leave a douchey message after the douchey tone.
All right. Let's talk about some crime and justice here.
Okay. All right, guys. We're in for a doozy with this next case. Let's buckle in because there's a lot of pieces and things to put together that we can discuss in length.
Hope.
That's what she said.
I was waiting for him. I was looking at the button.
That's how I caught my gaze. I was trying not to
be. Yeah, I was like, push that button.
I was trying not to be perverted.
Yeah. In length. That deserved the, that's what she said.
Oh, real quick, because there's a lot of people on that are crime creeps that are friends with me in real life now. Because I just add everybody. Go ahead, add me on Facebook. I don't care. One of my actual friends, we were talking about snow. And I've watched all of New England get hammered with snow this week. So I posted a picture of my driveway.
Oh, I saw that.
1/10 of 1 fraction of 1 centimeter of snow we got and posted it. And then one of my friends, who is a female, posted, girls' night in New England. We got 28 inches. And I just immediately wrote back. That's what she said.
Because you couldn't help yourself.
And I saw a couple of our crime creep friends jump on and give it thumbs up. And they gave it a liking because it was funny.
Of course. Oh, I have an update about myself. I have now learned to do voice to text on my computer. So I can read out loud my douchey story and it just makes it go right on the paper.
All right. Here's where the problem's going to lie.
Oh, I've already had to stop because of the pronunciation stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm well aware.
Not only that, like you're a little Massachusetts-y when you talk.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So you would literally read something in and then you'd be reading it back a week later, like, and they had a ham steak. And you're like, that's not what I said. Now, what did I say?
I do try to proofread when it's doing it. And I go back if it's a word that I know I'm going to pronounce incorrectly and cannot change the way I pronounce it, I just type it.
I don't like to proofread anything. I like to just hang by the seat of my pants because that's what you would do. Like, yeah. Literally, you would just get handed a piece of copy and you'd have to read it live on the air. At least we can go back now.
That's true.
I one-shot Willie this stuff.
Whoa.
Charity would be like,
one-shot Willie.
I sent you a news story that I want you to read on air tomorrow. I'll be like, absolutely. I like literally open it for the first time as we sit down and I'll just read it.
This is what he does.
Yeah.
Yep. Robert Hansen was born on February 15th, 1939 in Estherville, IA. He was the oldest of 2 children. His father, Christian, was a Danish immigrant. He was a baker and owned his own bakery. Robert was a slight little thing as a young boy and into teenagehood. He also stuttered, which of course made him stand out. We all know how mean kids are. He got made fun of by all his peers. And to add insult to injury, Robert suffered from severe acne, leaving like deep scars. It must have been like that cystic acne there. And back then, especially, they didn't, you know, now we have things that can help that. And back then they had nothing. So he
be nicer to kids with acne.
You guys. Yeah. I just wish people would just be kind. That's just my opinion.
Now that we don't have all those stickers that would say be kind, rewind, because we don't have VCRs anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be kind.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just get rid of the rewind.
Yep. Be kind.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As I've said many times, I feel so bad for the adolescent Robert, right? He's just a kid. He's just a kid, and he's being made fun of relentlessly just because of his size and things out of his control, and it's just really sad. As he grew, he began to have great disdain towards girls, as girls around him made it very clear that they would never show any interest in him.
Well, girls do have cooties.
Yeah, but back then he wanted their cooties. You wanted their cooties too, Mark. The more cooties, the better for you, probably.
Still do.
Yeah, Mark loves girl cooties. The girls act as if they were disgusted by him. His father was said to be a force to be reckoned with. He was to do exactly what his father said because he was the man of the house and everyone knew it. For this reason, to say Robert didn't have a good relationship with him was an understatement. It sounds like they basically had no relationship except for a domineering one on his father's part. And that's a horrible way to live. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't know. All of your peers were little pukes towards you because of things out of control, out of your control. And the one person you might turn to in helping you to grow into a strong man is an a-hole as well. So it's not a good start at all. You know, not everyone does bad things when they grow up this way. A lot of people turn their life around and become an amazing human and help other people who are going through tough times. Let's see what he did.
Is he a good one or the bad one? I can't wait to find out.
Well, you're going to wait and find out.
Yeah. Since we're reading his story, I'm going to say I know the answer.
To keep himself feeling okay about things, Robert would dream about how he would get revenge on all the girls that were mean to him one day. Sounds like he was almost daily daydreaming about it. All the rotten things he would do to these girls because he was so mad because they were like, you're gross. He also became very interested in hunting. His weapon of choice was archery.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not sure that's a good hobby for a kid going through what he was going through to have. I mean, he was basically teaching himself how to become a killer.
Buckle up, guys.
Not
it sounds
good.
Like it's going to get interesting.
Not good. It's been said that Robert worked at his dad's bakery as a boy while attending school. When Robert was 18 in 1957, he must have been around the same age he graduated from high school, around the same time anyways, he decided to join the Army Reserve. He only lasted a year, but was able to score a job with the police academy in Pocahontas, IA, as a drill instructor. Let's unpack this a little bit. Many of these types of people always seem to join the military. Again, was this attempt to either gain some confidence and strength or maybe to straighten himself out? Like maybe he knew he was having stuff going on that wasn't normal and was like, maybe I just need like some structure or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
But when it wasn't helping, it makes sense he would leave, right? I do wonder, though, if Robert enjoyed running drills, telling people what to do, being the one in charge. That's just a thought on my part. Right. If he was this domineering person and people up to this point were putting him down, maybe it made him feel good to be able to kind of say, nope, I'm in charge. You do this. You do that.
Anything's a possibility. You might be onto something.
Although Robert had no luck with the ladies when he was a younger man, he finally seemed to have found love.
Meow.
Mm-hmm. It must have been a magic meow.
Yeah.
He met a girl / woman younger than him and married her in 1960. And it was during the summertime. I wonder if it was easier for him to date younger women. Maybe he felt more confident as the girls / women his own age seemed to not want anything to do with him.
Can I stop you there for a second?
Sure.
I know this is a long one you said, so I'm going to try not to interrupt
too
much.
No, it's fine.
I get that love knows no bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this stuff. But I don't understand these people with the massive, massive, massive age gaps.
Yes.
So there's a guy that, like, I grew up with
yep.
who married a girl, and we're approaching our mid-40s to the 50s range at this point in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And he started dating an 18-year-old.
Ooh.
Ended up marrying her. Mm. I looked at him. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, Barney?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, this is ridiculous. Do you
yeah.
have, I, Kristen and I have about 5 years between us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
Because she'll talk about bands that I'll be like, oh, like, my parents like them.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Like, but it's only 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years, but not 20.
Yeah, that's
like, I don't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that me too. I wonder if.
And I went for the cougar. I didn't downgrade. I didn't go for the younger. I went for the cougar.
That, yeah, you did. You got yourself a cougar.
Yeah.
A magic.
She's gonna like hearing that.
A magic. You know what?
Can I say somebody did post in the Crime Creep group today on Facebook? Case Watch Crime Creeps on Facebook. If you're not in it, that said this one's for Kristen. And it wrote, ruin any movie by putting moist in the title.
Oh,
and
no.
She saw it and looked at me. She's like, your people are awesome. I was like, they are awesome.
They're amazing. Things are about to start getting interesting as we move along.
Interesting.
In 1960, the same year he married his wife, Robert was arrested.
Oh, boy.
You see, he burned down a school bus garage in Pocahontas County. His reasoning for doing this was because he was so angry about how he was treated during his time in school, especially high school. So, I mean, it makes sense to burn down a bus thing, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, to get back at people.
Yeah, 100% makes, I'm rolling my eyes. It makes no sense.
Because I think all the kids that he graduated with that were mean to him were probably so mad that those buses got damaged.
Yeah, I get what you're putting down. It doesn't add up.
He was found guilty and sentenced to 3 years in jail. Luckily for him, he only served 20 months at Anamosa State Penitentiary. Guys, I have such a...
I almost just gave you a congratulations because I thought you were through your trigger part of it.
Hold on. Penitentiary.
Nope.
Penitentiary?
We're not moving on until you get it right.
Penitentiary.
Nope.
Can you please do it? Tell me.
I can't ruin it.
I don't know how to say it.
Now you have me all messed up. Now I don't know how to say it. Penitentiary?
Penitentiary. Yeah.
Jail.
Yeah.
Jail. Went to
Anamosa State Prison.
Anamosa State Clink.
That's awesome. There we go. This particular prison, see, I did change it because I was like, oh no. Oh no, sir. I am not repeating that. And that's a pretty easy word. This particular prison is a medium security prison in Jones County community of Anamosa, Iowa. See, I did that good. I did that good.
Yeah.
So at this time, Robert was just in a medium, he was just a medium criminal, not a maximum one. Because he was only in the medium size prison, not the maximum. So he wasn't a bad criminal yet. He was just a criminal.
She's trying to make me laugh. And she's working on it really good.
The prison did make attempts to help Robert find out why he did what he did. While he was in jail, Robert was diagnosed with schizophrenia and manic depression. The psychiatrist who diagnosed him also said he had an infantile personality with an obsession with getting back at the people he felt treated him badly. In my humble, guys, opinion... infantile personality simply means his emotions were those of a child.
Mm-hmm.
He was stuck back there where he was that little boy with the acne and the stutter that got mercifully teased. I mean, that had to have been really hard. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Almost as if he was stuck in the formative years and couldn't, like, move forward, which is sad, you know? While he was still in jail doing time for the fire, Robert's wife divorced him. And I can't say I blame her. She had just gotten married to the person she thought she knew and was going to spend the rest of her life with. And boom, he burns down a bus company and ends up in jail. No thanks. I'm all set with that.
She's like, I didn't sign up for the jail part.
She was probably like,
I'm down for the bus burning,
yeah,
but not the jail.
And as we move along, and I'm not going to say yay or nay if he's going to be in prison again. I'm just going to say he's one of these criminals that's very lucky.
Oh, boy.
Right? And that makes it even more irritating because things possibly could have not happened that happened.
Okay.
But that's all I'm going to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, I love that movie. Robert was released from jail after the 20 months and continued to have issues with the law. The law.
The long arm of the law.
Yeah, he had issues with them. He went back to jail more than once for, quote, petty theft. During those years, he did end up getting married to a second wife in 1963. Okay, all right. So he still found some love. This particular wife, his second wife, the two of them had two children together. And it sounds like he found somebody that was willing to deal with his issues. Maybe she thought she could change him if they had kids together. You know what I mean?
I'm going to let everybody know.
That never works.
That you can't change somebody. No. I am who I am, and there's nothing that's going to change that. Maybe temporarily.
Right.
Like, if you... Like, you would get this if you act like this. Like, mm-hmm. that would work for a while.
Well, listen, too, right? Maybe when they met... You know, part of them falling in love was him sharing his horrible childhood upbringing, and she probably felt bad for him. And so, you know, if he had someone to love him and a family of his own, maybe he could straighten his way out. It's always wishful thinking.
Always works.
In 1967, Robert must have thought that a change in scenery would be good for the family. You know, a fresh start. He moved his entire family to Anchorage, Alaska. That's quite the change.
That's a little bit different scenery right
That's
there.
That's quite the change. I don't know. Maybe he did really think he could straighten himself up in a place so far away where no one knew him from a hole in the wall and give his family a fresh start. Could have been, again, wishful thinking. The family settled themselves in, and Robert seemed to make friends. He was very involved in the hunting community. He even broke a bunch of hunting records.
You're scaring me with how much you're emphasizing this hunting.
Sounds like his plan worked, right?
Yep.
Everything was going great. The end. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you next week. See ya.
That's until December of 1971. Robert got arrested twice. The first time was for kidnapping a housewife and trying to rape her.
Oh.
That escalated really fast. He went from petty theft and burning things down to kidnapping and rape or attempted rape. The second arrest was for raping a prostitute.
What the heck?
Somehow, the rape charge was dismissed, and Robert took a plea bargain, getting sentenced to 5 years in jail. And this bothers me very, very much. I feel like in situations like this, where a prostitute or sex worker is involved, their stories are not believed just because of what they do for work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's right.
No, not at all.
At all.
They're still a human.
Exactly.
And I think back in the day, a lot of those cases would be pushed under the rug because of that exact reason.
And that's why we see so many of these old school serial killers going after that demographic, because they probably think, well, they're not, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah.
And that's
like, you're
just
a prostitute.
Just horrible.
It's horrible thinking that way.
Mm-hmm. After only 6 months in jail, this very lucky dude was released to a halfway house on a work release program. See what I mean? How lucky he is?
Very lucky.
5 years, dude. He was out in 6 months. I'm wondering... Because now he was in a different country, right?
Yeah.
That obviously they weren't able to get his jail history from America.
Maybe not.
I would think not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that all
and
works.
He's not going to bring that over with him and be like, hey, just to let you guys know, I'm a criminal from America.
I've attempted to rape numerous other people in another country.
Yeah.
But he's not going to volunteer that.
I burnt down a bus company. And I was in jail a couple times for petty theft. But I didn't rape anyone, so I definitely didn't rape the sex worker.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know. But that would be the only thing I could think of that would make sense for him to be released into a...
Yeah, that's odd.
Right? Because the rape charge was dropped. The only thing that was kept was the kidnapping, an attempted rape.
Which should be just as bad.
I agree. Sorry, guys.
Wow. I was like, I'll go back and cut that out. And she like did it 9 more times. So now I'm going to leave it in.
Sorry, guys. Robert just could not behave himself. In 1976, he was caught red-handed stealing a chainsaw from a Fred Meyer store. And this was a larceny charge, guys. A chainsaw. Remember the Triple D when the guy tried to put the chainsaw in his pants?
Yeah. I still have a favorite Triple D of all time.
I know which one it is.
What one?
When they sniffed the ashes and thought it was Coke.
100%. Dude, I still think about that, and I still laugh about it. I would love to go back and listen to it at some point if I could ever figure out what episode it was in.
I still enjoy the man. This was like really early on, who was doing the number twos in people's yards, and he was getting caught. It was at nighttime, and he was getting caught on like the camera, but no one could really see his face, so he was at large.
Oh my God.
So gross.
That is awesome.
Robert was found guilty and sentenced to 5 years in the clink. Had to get the clink in there, guys.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Part of his sentencing.
Definitely not penitentiary.
Part of his sentencing.
Penitentiary. I knew it would come to me eventually.
What was I saying? Penitentiary?
You were saying everything but that.
Oh, God, it's so bad. Part of his sentencing was that he had to be seen by a psychiatrist in an attempt to treat his bipolar. Again, lucky for him, the Alaska Supreme Court reduced his sentence and he was released from jail. How is this guy so lucky?
I don't get it.
Let's talk about some of the more horrific crimes committed by this deranged man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Buckle in, guys. Buckle in. On June 13th of 1983, Robert came across a 17-year-old girl named Cindy Paulson. He must have assumed she was a prostitute and very well could have been. Robert told Cindy he would pay her $200 to give him oral sex. Yuck.
Seems like a lot of money.
Are you kidding me? Mark's like, I'll give you $50.
That seems like a lot of money.
And that was back then.
I don't know anything about how much sex work costs, but to me, that seems like a lot.
Guys, tell us what you think.
I could literally go buy a candy bar, come to my house, use the internet, and buy myself and be out nothing.
Oh, my God.
And I wouldn't have to listen to anybody after either.
I can't.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
Did you see someone commented underneath the picture of you with the fur all over you? And it said, at least Mark's not pantsless.
Right. it's kind of funny. It lets you in a little bit on my life. I actually was.
You were pantsless.
Before I started shaving Sophie, I was like,
Were you pantsless while you were shaving your kitty?
No. Once I knew I was going to shave the cat, I decided that I should probably put pants on just in case she started scratching.
That's a good idea.
Could have been a completely different picture.
Yeah, could have been gone viral on the World Wide Web.
Nah.
You never know. Cindy got into his car and he drove her to his house. He pointed a gun at her so she wouldn't try to get out of the car. So this was done by gunpoint. So she was scared, obviously. Once at the house, Robert proceeded to keep her tied up, raping and torturing her. Isn't that nice?
Scumbag.
After all the rape and torture, he must have been tired. He must have been tired because he took a little nap, Mark. He took a nap because he was tired from all the physical activity. When he woke up, he put Cindy back in the car with the help of the gun and drove to Merrill Field Airport. He apparently had his own plane, a small two-seater, sometimes called a bush plane.
That's what she
said. Yes, definitely Beavis and Butthead.
Oh my God, that just hit us both at the same time. Oh. Especially on the cat shaving talking earlier. It was great.
He told Cindy his plan was to take her to his cabin in the Matanuska Sisna Valley. I think I did that okay.
I'm going to say you failed at that one.
I'd like to just note that his quote-unquote cabin was actually a shack in horrible condition.
I would like to go on the record gross. And say I would not even attempt to be able to say that name because I knew I would not get it.
Yeah. I see, at least, you know what, Mark? At least I tried.
Try.
And all we do is ask of anybody is to try their best. And if you can't do it, at least you tried.
I ask people to do my best.
Oh.
Don't do your best. Do my best.
Oh, I like that. I like
it's
that.
It's an Adam Carolla saying from the 90s.
Excellent. Cindy was in the back seat of the car, frightened, with her hands tied in front of her. She waited for Robert to start loading the plane. She saw a chance to escape, and she did just that, running to the nearest road. Robert freaked out, obviously, and chased after her, but she had already gotten the attention of a truck driver named Robert Yont. Robert took one look at the condition Cindy was in and stopped right away to pick her up, realizing she was in deep trouble and needed some help. So her appearance was horrible. She was probably bloodied, the poor thing. Her clothes were probably ripped. She had no shoes on, and she looked frightened as all get out. You know what I mean? Mm. Cindy convinced Robert to drop her off at an inn, And he went off to work and called the police as soon as he got there. The Anchorage Police Department went to the inn where Cindy was, but she had already left. Apparently, she had taken a cab to a different motel where she thought her boyfriend was going to meet her. Police officers went to the hotel where Cindy was said to be and found her in room 110. And when they went into the room, they realized she was still handcuffed. Oh, my God. She was alone. So she couldn't get out of the handcuffs. Like, how scared she was. She probably just wanted to go to a place where she didn't think anybody would find her or know her.
Mm.
And she probably thought the police wouldn't believe her. It was a really good thing that truck driver called the police. It probably saved her life.
100%.
She was taken in so the police could hear her story of exactly what happened. She described the man who kidnapped her and exactly what he looked like and exactly what he had done to her. I have to say, this is a very strong young lady. Police knew exactly who Cindy was talking about and brought Robert in to question him. He, of course, denied everything that Cindy said, saying that she was trying to get him in trouble because he wouldn't pay her for her services. So he and her services were illegal. So it was a he said, she said situation. He was still a very tiny man, unassuming, and came across as very shy. This worked to his advantage. He used this technique other times when he was brought in to be questioned. He was just a baker, after all, a tiny little man. How could he have possibly harmed this young woman? Ugh. Not only was Robert's act working for him, he also had a friend named John Henning. And shame on you, John Henning, wherever you may be. Because John Henning was happy to be an alibi for him.
Oh, great.
Yep, saying he was with him during the time that Cindy had been abducted. For these reasons, the police didn't believe that Robert was the man who abducted and tortured Cindy. Apparently, during the period of time that Robert had lived in Anchorage, dead bodies had been showing up, so much so that an actual team of investigators had been chosen to find out why. Not good.
Mm.
They were all women. That's all I'm saying so far. Detective Glenn Floth was one of the Alaskan state troopers that was part of the team. The bodies were found in Anchorage, Seward, and Matanuska, Susitna Valley. Remember, Matanuska, Susitna Valley was the area Robert had told Cindy he was going to take her to continue on with the raping and torture.
Are you trying to say Saskatchewan?
No.
Okay.
It's Matanuska and dash, and then it's Susitna. Susitna.
Yeah, I have Susitna. No idea.
I don't know. I'm trying, guys. Excuse me.
Hey, the nerds who pronounce things correctly, they're on other shows.
Yeah, this is definitely not on our show. The first body was found near Eklutna Road. It was an accidental find by some workers doing construction in the area. This was a Jane Doe. So investigators gave her the name Eklutna Annie. I think it was a nice thing to do to give her a name instead of just calling her Jane Doe. It humanized her a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Opinion. Unfortunately, to this day, Eklutna Annie's body has never been identified. That's sad. The next body that was found belonged to a girl named Joanne Messina. Her body was left in a gravel pit in 1982. The body of a 23-year-old named Sherry Moreau was found near the Nick River. Investigators believe that all three women were murdered by the same person. Detective Floth knew he needed to help, so he got the FBI involved. Agent John Douglas was chosen to help with getting an offender profile. This was some criminal mind stuff going on. I, of course, asked Miss Wiki to elaborate on what offender profiling is. Here was her answer, guys. Offender profiling is also known as criminal profiling and is used by law enforcement agencies to identify likely suspects and has been used by investigators to link cases that may have been committed by the same perpetrator. Ooh, sounds so fancy. So just like I said earlier, it sounds like the beginning of Criminal Minds when they talk about the unsub, right?
Mm.
Listen to how good Agent Douglas was at profiling. By the way, I find this talent to be so interesting, and I actually want to do an episode on it. On how they go about profiling and stuff, because it's unbelievable how accurate they are.
As I say, it's eerily weird how much they get right.
So listen to Agent Douglas's account of the profile. It is wild.
Here's my thing real quick before you do that,
though. Okay.
So we have all this where they can profile people, which means they could almost reverse engineer this. And then you see Minority Report.
Yes.
This sounds very Minority Report-esque. Where
yep.
We're now at the government could almost like start monitoring these. They're looking for key activities that people yep. do. And then they get put on a like, I could see this. Like, this is realistic.
I know. It's creepy.
Scary realistic.
It's creepy. He thought that the killer was someone who was very good at hunting, but had a very low self-esteem. Couldn't have been closer to that than anything else.
Right.
He also thought the person most likely had a history of rejection from women. He would want to save keepsakes from each kill, almost like trophies, proud of what he had done.
It's weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gross. Almost like the trophy, whenever he saw it, he could remember that moment, they say.
Oh my God, what a douchebag.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree 100%. Agent Douglas was even able to speculate that the killer may have had a stutter. How can you be that good?
I don't know.
Seriously.
And they nail these things pretty consistently.
Oh, he was right on point. Armed with this profile, Detective Floth's thoughts went back through the suspects they had. When he came to Robert Hansen, he knew he had his guy. Robert fit the profile right down to the stuttering and the fact that he owned a plane, able to fly these women out of the areas we have talked about. Luckily, they still had Cindy Paulson's description and account of what happened to her. Detective Floth, along with the APD, had enough evidence for a search warrant to search Robert's home, his plane, and his vehicle. Oh, boy. Things are getting real up in her. You're welcome for that. Let's hear about what they found, shall we?
We shall.
They found jewelry identified as belonging to some of the dead women, the trophies we talked about, along with many weapons, most of them in the attic of his home. There was a 223 semi-automatic rifle found along with a map with 37 X marks found. Oh, 37 boy. X marks. Three of the X marks on the map were the exact spots where the dead girls' bodies had been found. What about the other 34 X's?
Man.
Yep. Robert denied all of the findings, coming up with other excuses of why they found what they found. But after a while, when he knew he was caught, he admitted he had killed the girls. He blamed it all on them, basically saying the girls were the ones that drove him to kill them. Just like many killers, Robert became almost proud and answered every bit of evidence. So he once he fully, like, this is what happens with these creeps, right?
Unbelievable.
And they're not the good creeps, the God creeps. Okay, yeah, I did it. Now I want to tell you how bad I really am because I want to become infamous, right?
Yes.
This is what they do.
Gumbags.
Because once he started talking, he didn't stop. The sicko was probably hoping to make a name for himself, becoming infamous, like I said.
Yeah.
He said he started killing women in Alaska as early as 1971. His beginning victims were very young, between 16 and 19 years old, and were sex workers or strippers. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to talk about Robert's MO right now, and it is horrifying. And I do actually think that it was either Criminal Minds or it had to have been Criminal Minds that I know there's an episode that was made because of this. Because listen, what he did. He was said to pinpoint the girl he wanted to take, follow her around, and get to know her daily routines. So he really put some time into this.
Yeah.
Next, he would slice by in his car and pick the victim up, getting them into his car by using the gun. Just like with Cindy, the brave girl that escaped, he would bring the victim to his home and rape and torture her. This next part is so frightening and disgusting.
Oh, boy.
When he was done with the raping and torture, he would bring the victim to an obscure area, drop her in the middle of nowhere, usually with no clothes on, and hunt her like she was an animal.
What?
Hunt her like she was an animal. When he got to her, he would stab or shoot her to death. How deranged can someone be?
What a piece of crap.
Oh, seriously.
We have creeps.
Yeah. Freaking douchebag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need more of these guys. Keep sending them, please. And douchebag's great, but if you want to like get creative,
expand upon it.
Douche canoes, doucheroos, douche whatever. It doesn't have to be douche. It can be.
Is this one douche canoe?
You're a douchebag.
Nope.
Douchebag.
You, sir, are a douchebag.
That's a good one, too.
Douchebag.
Oh, there is a douche canoe in here.
Deuce canoe.
There we go.
Can I say that the creeps are loving this?
Yes.
They're loving that they can hear their douchebags on air. So keep coming, guys.
I love that.
I laugh so hard.
Or, like I said, just send something funny like
Illinois.
Yeah.
After silence.
Listen, you guys send whatever you want, and we will hopefully you'll make it to the board. So we can press your little saying because it's hysterical. I'm on there, guys. I'm on there more than once.
Nope, that's our old music.
Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat. Guys, he that's not the order that went in. If you go back and listen to that episode, he switched things around.
No.
Yes, he did.
No.
It is kind of funny, though.
What about this one?
Whatever, Mark. You're not going to ever have any of my biscuits then.
I don't think I edited that one.
No,
all.
That was me telling you couldn't have any of my biscuits. Okay, let's get back in. Investigators believe that Robert's first murder victim in Canada was 18-year-old Celia Van Zanten. She disappeared on December 22nd, 1971. The poor thing ended up freezing to death out in the middle of nowhere. But she did escape from him.
Good.
Her body, but she froze to death. So even though he couldn't hunt her, she still died because of him.
He also couldn't have the satisfaction of it either.
And her body, guys, was found on December 25th, Christmas Day.
Aww.
So sad. It's been said that this kidnapping was done just 3 days after he was arrested for raping the prostitute. So if they hadn't dropped that charge, then she might still be alive.
Unbelievable.
Although investigators are almost positive that Robert was responsible for Celia's abduction and death, it has never been fully proven, and Robert himself denied it. Let's go back to Cindy Paulson now, the brave young woman who identified Robert, which eventually had him arrested. This brave little lady told police the most horrific things that Robert did to her, like chaining her by the neck to the bedpost so she wouldn't leave in between the raping.
Ugh.
I actually consider her to be a hero.
Yeah.
I really do. Not only did she escape, she later told police that she left her sneakers in his car purposefully so that they would be found and linked back to her if she wasn't found. Now, that's smart thinking.
Yes.
With all the evidence against him and Cindy being able to tell the police that he was indeed the person that abducted and tortured her, Robert was arrested and charged with assault, kidnapping, multiple weapon offenses, along with some smaller offenses that were just tacked on to the end. Robert, of course, tried to enter into a plea bargain, but after tests came back, it was determined that the bullets found at the crime scenes for the four women, they think Hansen was responsible for killing. So they matched. Their bullets matched, and you can't make an excuse for that. He had no choice but to plead guilty to four homicides. Cowardly, he said he would tell authorities about all the other victims so that he could be sentenced and serve time in a federal prison. So he wanted to go to a federal prison. So he said, if you guys, you know, do that, do me a solid, then maybe I'll tell you about all the other people I killed and where they are. Ugh. Part of this deal, though, was that he could not talk publicly to the press or anyone about this, which I'm glad because he doesn't deserve to make any money over this. I'm sorry. Another part of the deal was that he was to help authorities find the victims that he marked on his sick little map that they found at his home. It was at this time that he took the plea deal. He admitted that he actually started killing in the early 1970s. So even before 1971 is what he said. In the end, Robert showed investigators where 17 of his grave sites were located in Alaska. 12 of these grave sites were not known by investigators. There were, however, some marks on his sick map that he refused to give up, about 3 of them or more. 12 of his victims were found and given back to their families so that they could be put to rest. Robert was sentenced to 461 years in prison, and there was absolutely no possibility for parole. He spent time in prison in the lower 48 up until 1988 when he was returned to Alaska. In May of 2014, Robert was transferred one more time, this time to Anchorage Correctional Complex, supposedly for health reasons.
Boo-hoo, I don't care about
that. Don't
care,
don't feel bad. He died August 21st, 2014. He was 75 years old at the time at Alaska Regional Hospital in Anchorage. All right, so... Oh, this makes me so mad.
Yep.
He lived till he was 75. Scumbag. And some of these women were 16 years old. Disgusting.
Cock-a-doodle douche.
Yep. It's been said that he died from, quote, natural causes from health conditions that he had been fighting for quite a while. I personally do not feel bad for this. Press the button.
Frickin' douchebag.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel bad at all. It's been speculated that Robert may have killed over 30 Alaskan women.
Wow.
Their ages were as young as 16 to 41 years old. This is due to information that he himself has told investigators. So who knows how true it is. So you're not that cool wherever you are, loser. Just like all these other losers, when they're caught, they sometimes want to make themselves sound better than they really are by exaggerating the amount of kills they had. Which, I don't know. I hope it really wasn't that many. Because that's a lot of carnage.
Unbelievable.
It's been said that it is almost fact that he probably killed at least 21 women, though. Now, remember, Robert was only charged with four murders because those were the only ones they could actually, you know, prove.
Yep.
These four women were Sherry Moreau, Joanne Messina, Eklutna Annie, the Jane Doe, Paula Goulding, and of course the abduction, rape, and torture and attempted murder of Cindy Paulson, the young woman that inevitably took him down for good. I'm now going to read the names of the women that are known to be the women Robert killed. Unfortunately, there's quite a bit of them, so I'm not going to be able to get into really anything about them or how they were killed, but most of them were killed by Robert using his usual MO. Okay, here we go. Celia Beth Van Zanten, 18 at the time of her murder. Megan Siobhan Emmerich, 17 at the time of her murder. Mary Kathleen Thill, 22 at the time of her murder. Eklutna Annie, no age known because she was never identified. Joanne Messina, 24. Roxanne Eastland, 24. Lisa Futrell, 41. Sherry Moreau, 23. Andrea Mona Altieri, 24. Sue Luna, 23. Robin Pelkey, 19. Delin Renee Frey, 22. Paula Goulding, 30. Cindy Paulson, 17. She's the one who escaped. Malia Larson, 28. Teresa Watson, 22. Angela Lynn Federn, 24, and Tamara Pedersen, 20. I think we should have a moment of silence for these women and the unknown women murdered by this sicko. May they rest in peace. Okay, that was nice.
That's very sad. There's one thing that I noticed that's out of place on there, so it makes me wonder if there's more circumstances. You listed off all of these victims of these terrible crimes. One of them stuck out just because of the age. There's one that's 41.
Yeah.
All the other ones are between 17, lower 20s, a couple early 30s. Mm-hmm. Like, that's very odd to me. It makes me wonder if there's more to that story.
Maybe, I mean, she could have just looked real good for her age.
Yeah.
Really young for her age. Or maybe it was just by happenstance.
Yeah.
Maybe she kind of like fell into his lap because she was there. But obviously there's speculation that there's way more names that we don't know anything about of
so
some
sad.
Younger ones. And it's horrible. Cases like this really get me, you know, because so many people grew up the same exact way that he did. They did not turn into murderers. They bettered themselves.
Some people use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
And some people use it as a reason to succeed.
It's true.
And unfortunately, there's a dividing line on how people's lives go, and those are all in your hands.
That's right.
Guys, right here in closing, it's your pal Mark. Do me a favor. Let's try something new. Share the podcast on social media. A lot of people can't leave 5-star reviews or any of that stuff. Share the podcast. Let your friends know, hey, we listen to these weirdos. You guys might like them too.
Right, because if you guys are weirdos, then some of your friends might be weirdos. And in turn, we can be all weirdos together.
Look at Steve.
Steve.
The mailbag?
Yep.
I mean, Steve found the show.
Oh,
and now his brother likes the
guys,
show.
Guys, Steve sent me something really funny after the whole moist thing.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. If I hold it up to the microphone, you think the peeps will hear it?
Yeah, they should.
All right, hold on a minute. All right, here it is. Hold on. Let's see if I can play it here.
These are the words that I like the least. Smear moist pantyhose, slurp and yeast.
Oh, my God. That is interesting.
Smear moist pantyhose, slurp and yeast.
On that note, guys, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.